Y'all pray with me. Father, we thank you that in a world that tries to define who we are, be it our friends, be it our family, be it our enemies, be it even ourself, Father, we thank you that you have the last word. And no matter how hard the enemy has tried to steal our identity, Father, that our true identity is found in you. And if we know you, your word is clear that we are your sons and we are your daughters. We praise you for that, for you are a good Father. Father, my prayer is that you speak tonight through your word, as you already have through worship, that your Holy Spirit, not that you need our permission, we pray that all the time. Holy Spirit, you are big enough to knock down any walls we create, any imaginary relationship we feel we have with you, any kind of religious experience we feel like we've had, be it fake or be it real, any of these things, Father, you're big enough to move past those and speak to the heart of the issue. But my prayer is tonight, as a people gather together in your name, that we would willingly lay down any walls. We would come to a place of surrender and say, Father, I really want to hear from you tonight through your Holy Spirit. Father, that's our prayer, and we ask that you speak. We believe in this place that your word is living and active, and Father, you want to speak directly to us tonight because we are your sons and daughters. Those of us that do know you, those of us that don't, tonight could be that night of salvation. We pray for that as well. Father, we love you. We love you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Again, just be with us tonight in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you will, go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 1. I've been excited about tonight because I get to share a little of my story. And man, there's a lot of things that people can argue with. People can argue and say, man, I know some of those stories in the Bible, and you're telling me a guy named Noah filled all these animals up on a boat, and he did all these things, or God just spoke the earth into existence. One thing that people make and argue against are some of those stories, right? Now, we know them to be true, but one thing someone cannot argue with is your personal story. They can't tell you how God has impacted your life. You know that to be true. You know how God has impacted your life. And so tonight, I pray that some of the mishaps maybe in my life, some of the steps that I found myself in through some of the things we talked about last night, I pray that some of those would be a help not only tonight, but as you go back into your town, into your city. We touched on last night on why, in the closing, why we do what we do. We talked about this whole idea of this identity theft and really coming to a place of man, maybe we've been in this place of service to God, of being at this place of, if I just do enough, if I just pray enough, if I just read enough, then maybe somehow this God that we talked about, this holy God that we talked about in heaven, is somehow going to come to a place where he loves me more, or feels more about me, or thinks I'm doing a better job and give me a greater pat on the back or any of these things. And sometimes if we're not careful, because of those seeds the enemy has planted, those things about this identity theft that's going on in our life, sometimes we serve out of those kind of places. And the why we do what we do is just confused as much as possibly our identity. And just as prevalent as these identity theft issues as we talked about last night, to piggyback off that tonight is the idea on the church struggling on the why. Really, I want you just to stop and ask yourself this question tonight. Before we dig into God's word, I want you to ask yourself this question: why do you do what you do? Now, I'm not talking about going to school. I'm not talking about waking up at your mom and dad's house and trying to eat all their food like a human garbage disposal as most teenagers do. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm not talking about why you would go fishing or why you would go hunting. But as a Christian, as a child of God, as someone who would identify as a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, adults in the room as well, why do you do what you do? Why would you come on a mission trip? Why would you come all the way to Birmingham, Alabama, and go to some of the roughest parts in our city and go and try to serve people? Why would you do that? Why would you give of time of your summer vacation to come on a bus with 14, 15 people, some of which are guys and they're teenagers and they stink and it's a bus and all these things, right? Why would you do that? Why do you do what you do? Adults, why do you do what you do? Really, what is it that motivates us? What is this that really gets us to a place and saying, I want to serve? Why do we do what we do? Is this identity theft issue we talked about last night? I'm afraid that most people, Not everyone. But most people come to a place of service in the church, and somehow this service to God has left them void and empty of any kind of satisfaction. How can that be? If a holy God has called us into a relationship, how can we ever come to a place where we serve Him and it still leaves us feeling just void and empty on the inside? I believe one of the problems is the why is all out of whack. And what we've done when we do that is we've turned God into this cosmic vending machine. Anybody ever had a vending machine story, right? You go to the vending machine, you put the change in, right? Joseph, you're eyeing that perfect little Debbie. Me and you've been there. We've seen that. Got the t-shirt and you're waiting at summer camp. You've gone with youth and Doug, you're just hungry, man. You just want that perfect snack. You put the right change in. The little thing spins and then it just hangs up, right? That's a terrible feeling. And really what we've done is we've somehow in that, on the why we do what we do, we've turned God in this cosmic vending machine. And what I mean by that is we just hope that if somehow we have the correct change, if somehow we are lucky enough to look at the selections and say, boy, that would make me happy. E3 would really change my life right now, right? If I could just put in the right change and push the right buttons and maybe even give it the right nudge or the right dance or the right thing to make it, maybe I get the prize. And man, I'm afraid that the why is so messed up, even in the church, even in the people that should know better, that somehow we've turned God into that idea. If I just have the right change, man, if I just say the right prayer, if I just read the right passage of Scripture, if I just do the right devotion, if I just go to Doug and say, man, I'm really going after God this week, if I just come up with some kind of saying, man, if I just do something and push the right buttons, maybe, just maybe, God will be happy and drop some favor out of the machine, and man, life will be grand and I will feel good. Again, I want to ask the question, why do you do what you do? You could poll 1,000 Christians and probably get a different answer on this. In fact, Doug, I did this one time. I had a youth group and I polled and asked them this question. What does a good Christian look like? This idea of why we do what we do, and you know, some of the answers were the typical answers, right? They don't cuss. They go to church. They read their Bible. They pray. They tell people about Jesus, all of these things. And really, if we were to do that in this room tonight by a secret ballot and give you a piece of paper and say, what does a good Christian look like? Some of those answers would be on there and some others would be on there. And some maybe that we haven't even thought of, and maybe that would be some of your answer. But here's the problems with that. When you do that, when you create some kind of magical list in your head, some kind of list of saying, well, man, here's what a good Christian, if I'm going to get to the heart of why I do what I do and trying to be this good Christian, right, I've got to have this list of things in my head. Right, some of you are thinking about that right now, even on this trip, and thinking, coming to a place at a time in a message like last night that's saying, man, you don't have to do anything else for God to love you anymore. In fact, it's impossible for God to love you any more than He does right now. But still, the human tendency is this, boy, when I get home, listen, Doug, when I get home, I got to go to church more. When I get home, I gotta pray more. When I get home, I'm going to read more. And while all those things may be fine and good, why do we do what we do? Again, is it some idea that we put the right change in the machine and the perfect formula comes out and all these things will line up just right? And I just want to tell you tonight from personal experience, someone that can go to this bathroom back here and look in the mirror and see this bald-headed face, and I can look in the mirror and I can remember a time in my life when I was stuck. I was stuck in a rut, man, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know what in the world was going on in my life. I want to tell you this. For years, since I was 19 years old, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. That was a long time ago. But since I was 19 years old, I probably made 99% of the church services that I could attend. When I went to my church, my home church, we had Tuesday night evangelism stuff where you went out and you talked to people. You had Wednesday night church. You had Sunday morning church and Sunday night church. Man, 4 stars. I was at every service. I was in youth ministry. I was in college ministry. Man, I did everything I possibly could. I couldn't pray enough and I couldn't read enough to still fill the void. Something was missing in my life. Man, it kept coming to this thing like, there's got to be more to this, man. Like, I'm the one standing up telling people, just believe in God and everything will be okay. And God, I'm not okay. I don't know what's going on. But I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall. Nothing feels right about this. I kept coming to those moments of, God, I believe in you. I really do. I believe you sent your son. I believe when you say he's the only way. I would give my life for that. But God, I'm miserable right now. And yet somehow when I read scripture in John 10:10, it says that if I would just come to you, I would have abundant life. I don't have abundant life. What's wrong with me? Would look in the mirror and say, man, I just got to do more. That's what it is. I just have to do more. I just have to find a way to serve more. I just have to find a way to do better. I'm teaching every Wednesday night. Doug, I just need to teach better. I just need to find a way just to be a better teacher. I'm going out and I'm telling people about Jesus. Nobody's accepting Jesus. I just need to figure a way to get them to buy the answer to Jesus. I just need to do that and maybe that will make me happy. I was involved in college ministry. I saw kids from our home church. We had this, it's not a college town, and I would see these kids graduate youth group and leave, and I thought, well, maybe the transition from youth to college, and maybe I could get them to stay in church. Maybe I could be a knight in shining armor and come to a place and ride in on the white horse and say, man, Jesus is just grand. All the while on the inside, I'm like, God, are you? Because I'm not feeling it right now. And I felt like my life was on this merry-go-round of going through the motions, one motion after another, one dance after another, one prayer after another, and just miserable on the inside of asking God, begging God, of saying, God, there has to be more to this life. I felt like I was dying on the inside. Even found myself in some places in my life in that time in a deep, dark depression, and none of it made me happy. Nothing in life made me happy. And I realized something. Maybe all along it wasn't the what. You see, everything I had an answer for in my mind. Everything I had an answer. If I just do this, if I just say that, if I would just act like this, if I would just do this, then I would be happy. When all the while, really, I think the problem was the why. It wasn't the what at all, and that may not make sense to you right now, but I want you just to hang on and again, ask yourself the question tonight, why do you do what you do? In my life, I had become a habitual box checker. Man, I would find a list and I would say, man, if I'll just do this, then God's going to be happy. And I found out that I wasn't alone. I want to share with you something, and if you've ever been in a church that's used this, forgive me, I'm not making fun. But anybody ever seen an offering envelope this size? Man, they're expecting a small offering right there, right? It's not even big enough to fit a bill in. You're going to have to fold stuff up. This is an offering envelope. I just want to read you some of the stuff that's on this. When I was going through this time, I want you to know that God used this little envelope in my life, along with the passage of Scripture I want to share tonight. I read this, and there's things that you would see on an envelope that you'd see in most churches, right? Typical things about the date and your name and your address and all this. But I want you to check this out with me. I read this and I said, boy, if there's not something that sums up my life better than this and the scripture I'm going to read to you tonight, I can't find it. Here's what it says. It's got some boxes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can count. 7 boxes. I want you to listen to what it says. Attendance. Now, we would all say, Doug, you want these kids to be at church, right? I mean, that's a given. We want you to be at your church. We want you to love your church. We want you to be involved in your youth group and be at everything. And by this envelope, if you do that, we're going to give you 10% points. It says it on there. Doug, I showed you this last night. It says 10% right there. Listen to me. If you can do nothing else, if you'll just show up, we're going to give you a 10%. You're a 10% Christian this week. That's your total grade. That's the last box. You're being graded. You're on a scale. Man, if you'll just show up 10%, it's kind of like taking the test and just putting your name on it, right? As long as you'll do that, we'll give you 10%. But listen to this. It goes further. On time. Doug, we like people to be punctual, right? We like people to be on time. If you'll show up on time, we'll bump in another 10%. Man, you're up to 20%. Still an F, but you're up to 20%. Bible brought. Anybody bring their Bible tonight? Nobody? Man, don't get to count. All right, Doug, we're going to give you 10% more for bringing your Bible tonight. Does everybody have your cell phone with your Bible app on it? Okay, all right, we'll lump you in there then. All right? Anyone going to give an offering tonight? That's a preacher joke. You got to do that, right? It says that on an offering, 10%. This was for Sunday school. If you prepared and studied your lesson, hey, this is a big deal. Man, let me tell you, 10% for showing up, 10% on time, 10% because that's cute, because that's an offering and it's a tithe, right? 10%. But if, oh man, if you've read our precious material, if you have gone to a place and done everything a good student should do, 30 more percent. How did that get 30% when the other only gets 10? I don't know. It's probably in the Bible somewhere. I guess, maybe, right? Preaching. Boy, sometimes we like to go to preaching, sometimes we don't. You're probably thinking tonight is one of the times you don't want to be here. If you go to preaching, attendance 20%. Man, preachers get shafted a little bit. Sunday school gets 30%, preachers get 20%. If a math adds up right, that's 100%. And man, as I read this and I think, what a joke. I'm going to be honest, when I read this, I say, what a joke. Because what this does, man, at the end of the week is when I sit down and I go through this list of man-made stuff, really, in all honesty. I mean, some of it's biblical principles, but a man sit down and said, boy, I'm going to come up with a scale that's really going to get them. I mean, this is really going to put them in shape. We've been waiting for Joseph to finally climb on board, and this is going to get him because he's going to read and he's not going to have done his Sunday school lesson, and we're going to knock that 30% right off his life. And right there, he can't be anything this week but a 70% Christian. I want to tell you, man, this is false. If you're caught up in this, man, if you were at a place like I was, listen, I was a grown man standing before youth trying to tell them the way, the truth, and the life, and I was believing garbage like this, thinking, man, if I'll just check it off. Man, if I'll just show up, if I'll just go through with it, if I'll just read my lesson, if I just show up to preaching, and I was miserable, man, coming to a place of just dying on the inside. But I wasn't alone. Obviously, they made envelopes for people like us. If you will, turn to Isaiah chapter 1, and I want to read that this is not just an envelope story. This is not just something you can go to Lifeway and say, man, people are with me. Go back to Isaiah's day, and this scripture, I want to tell you, probably more than any, impacted my life and is still impacting it every time I read it because I can find myself in this scripture. I want you to read with me this morning, and my prayer, and I want you to know my heart and direction in this, I feel like the Lord leading me and where He brought me to a place from, is my prayer is that if anyone in the sound of my voice tonight, no matter if you're an adult, a youth, or a child, if you are in a place where you need to break free from the bondage of religion tonight, break free. I pray that freedom happens tonight. Listen to this, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. I'm just going to read and kind of point out some things as we go. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, we'll be going to verse 15. Hear the word of the Lord. I want to stop right there and tell you that this is pretty important. This is God's word, not just God's word, but God's word to Isaiah, telling to a prophet Isaiah, saying, Isaiah, I want you to go to the people and tell them this. Hear the word of the Lord. Remember last night, Isaiah is the one that saw this vision, this holy, holy God. This holy God is saying, Isaiah, here is the word of the Lord for the people. I want you to listen and see if you can find yourself tonight. Here's what the word of the Lord says. You rulers of Sodom, give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Anyone remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in Scripture? Did not turn out so well for these people, right? These were people that were on a level of sickness that we are perhaps seeing in this country today, in this world today. And we see all the things that are going on and we can relate and understand. But here is what the word of the Lord said to God's chosen people. He said, man, you're being just like Sodom. You're being just like Gomorrah. You are being heathens. You are coming to a place where really I am just wanting to judge what is going on right now based on what I'm saying. That's what God's saying. When the people of God heard this declaration, heard this idea of here's who you remind me of, this would have been a game changer. It would have been a moment where they said, whoa, really? Like, God, you're going to put that on. That's who we remind you of? We're your chosen people. We're your favorites. God, what did we do to deserve this? Listen to what they did. He says, what to me is your multitude of sacrifices? I stopped right there. Now, wait a minute. I thought sacrifices were a good thing. This was the Old Testament. That's what they did. They brought sacrifices to the Lord as an act of worship, and they brought sacrifices and they laid them on the altar. And that seems kind of weird, but we know that's the Old Testament way, and that's what happened. And there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And that was what was done, all pointing to the one where one day the perfect lamb would come and die, and there would be no need for sacrifice because he was the ultimate sacrifice. But wait a minute, God, you prescribe sacrifices. And here's what he says. Listen to this. What to me is your multitude of sacrifices? Not just your one sacrifice. You're bringing multitudes. And God said, what is that to me? What is that? Says the Lord. Listen to what he says. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams, the fat of well-fed beasts. Let me just stop you right there. He's saying, I've at a place where you are sending me these burnt offerings, these what is supposed to be this fragrant aroma that's supposed to reach the heavens. And he's saying, I've had enough of this. And by the way, in Scripture, the ram was a part of the offering. They were even offering more. Get this. God never asked for the fat. They were taking the fat and saying, we're offering this as well. They were giving God more than what he asked for. And here's what God said. I've had enough of it. I've had enough. I can't stand these offerings that you're giving anymore, these burnt offerings. Here's what he says. He continues, I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. He's saying, none of this stuff I prescribe, I don't delight in this stuff from you. It would be kind of confusing. It would be like Brother Doug standing up at your youth meeting and saying, man, I don't want you to come and sing these worship songs. I don't want you to read your Bible. I don't want you to pray anymore. You say, wait, brother, you've been telling us all along we're supposed to do this. These are good things. These were good things for these people. This is what God had told them to do. When you want to worship me, come and sacrifice. Bring burnt offerings as a fragrant aroma to me. I love this. I love this communion with you. But here he says, I've had enough of them. Stop. It's kind of crazy. Listen to this in verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who has required this trampling of my courts? You know what trampling of my courts is? You know what entering his courts was? Going to church, going to worship, going to the synagogue. And here's what he said. You're trampling. You're running in. You're making this way into my church. I'm tired of you trampling my courts. I'm tired of you coming to church. That's what God's saying to the people of Israel. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Everything that these little Jewish children would have grown up hearing, they're hearing from the word of the Lord say, I don't want any of this stuff. I don't want this. Continue on. Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. These were parties that they had at the beginning of the month, the celebration of who God is and all that he had done. And he's saying, your celebrations, your convocations, your gatherings, I'm tired of them. I don't like them. He says, I cannot endure iniquity, sin, in your solemn assemblies. Your new moons and your appointed feasts. Listen to what God's word, listen to what he says. Listen to the language. He says this about him, God, his very self, his very core, everything about him. He says, all of these things, he says, my soul hates. God, these are good things. I can imagine myself. I can imagine saying, God, I checked off the boxes, man. I'm at 80% and you don't like it? That's not good enough. What will I ever be able to do to please you? God, you're a holy God. I thought you liked this stuff. I thought you liked it when I read my lesson. Do you realize how boring some of those lessons are? And I read them. Give me my 30%. I tithe this week. Give me my 10%. God, and you don't want it anymore? What's the deal? What he's saying to these people. Listen to what he says after my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. A holy God saying, I can't bear the burden of your church meetings, your sacrifices, your offerings. My soul hates them right now. You're burdening me right now with how you're doing these things. God says, I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes. Holy God, to his chosen people, to the one who had it all figured out, to the ones who had the prescription of, man, bring the offerings, come to my courts. all of these things. And he says, when you lift your hands, you've been in church and you've lifted your hands before, and that's okay to do here, and you lift your hands, God says, I will hide my eyes from those hands. I will not see that. When I was in that time of my life and I'm reading these things, I'm like, God, you're so twisted. I don't understand you. These are things you've asked these people to do. You've called them stiff-necked when they've turned away from you. And now here they are, they're doing these things. And my God, you won't accept them. How are we ever going to make it? How are we ever going to get to a place where it's good enough for you? Do you not feel like that sometimes? We say at this church, and I want you to know, you can adopt this mentality and Doug will be fine when you take it back. I want you to know, we've said this in this place, that this is a place that we don't wear masks. We don't come in and act like everything's always rosy, because here's the newsflash, sometimes it's not. You always do that. You show up at church, how you doing, man? I'm doing great. No, you're not. Sometimes you're struggling. Sometimes life's hard. Sometimes you don't want to be here. Sometimes you're angry at God. And guess what? God's big enough to already know that you're angry at him, so just be honest with him. And here God is saying, man, you raise your hands at me, I'm going to hide my face. I'm not even going to look your way. I'm going to hide my face. I'm not looking at that. If we look at this, God really sounds very arrogant in this. If I'm honest, I look at this and say, how arrogant. You told them to do this, and now they're doing it, and it's not good enough. It says, even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. I really struggled with this passage. And then I read the Message. Anybody ever read the Message? It's a paraphrase. It's not like a word-for-word translation, but I want to read this and hope this is okay tonight. Just to maybe make a little more sense. And when I read this, I want you to know my heart sank. Because if I didn't find myself there and I didn't understand what was going on, when I read this, it hit me to the core of, man, I understand what's going on in my life right now. You see, it wasn't the what, it was the why. Isaiah 1, these same verses. Listen to my message, you Sodom school leaders. Receive God's revelation, you Gomorrah school people. Why this frenzy of sacrifices? This is God asking. Don't you think I've had my fill of burnt sacrifices, ram, and plump grain-fed calves? Don't you think I've had my fill of blood from bulls and lambs and goats? When you come before me, whoever gave you the idea of acting like this, running here and running there, doing this and doing that, all the sheer commotion in the place I provided for worship. Here's the verse that really just got me. Quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games, your monthly conferences, your weekly Sabbath, your special meetings, 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 meetings. I can't stand one more. Meetings for this, meetings for that. I hate them. You've worn me out. I'm sick of your religion, 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 while you go right on sinning. When you put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way. No matter how long or how loud or how often you pray, I'll not be listening. I read this and I really just had to come to a place and say, the worship charades. Man, could it be that I was standing before a group of people and telling them all these things about God, but yet somehow I was acting out a part? Could it be from a place that I was serving in the what and not the why, that I was going through motions to try to make myself feel good? And the answer, when I look at myself in the mirror at that point in my life, the answer was yes. And I'd grown up in church, I should have known better. It's like Jesse said earlier, I heard that all my life and understood, but man, for some reason, everything I did came out of a thing to please other people, to please myself, to make myself feel good about me. And it was at that moment when I read that worship charades and your meetings, meetings, meetings. Man, I was at church every time the doors were open. but it just felt empty a lot of times. Doesn't mean it was all the time, but it felt empty a lot of times. I should have known better in church tonight. You should too. One of my favorite stories growing up as a kid was David and Goliath. I think I like the idea that the underdog went to the giant, and man, to be honest, one of my favorite parts of that story was he cut the giant's head off and he held it up for everybody to see. I want to tell you, for a kid that's 8 years old back in the day and sitting in class and loving G.I. Joe, y'all don't know about that, but that was a thing back then, and loving those kind of deals, and to read and hear a sweet little old lady teacher said, and he cut the giant's head off and he held it up for all to see. I'm like, yes, I love it. That's what I've been waiting on. One of the greatest parts of that story is that David wasn't even invited to the moment where they were going to pick the new king. That's David's life, you know. David being a shepherd boy, and even at a place where his dad said, well, yeah, but there's one more. He's out, the young one. He's tending sheep. You don't really mean him. And Samuel said, bring him on out. When he came, God told Samuel something. I do not look at man the way man does. I see the heart. I don't look at outward appearance. You see, I should have known that. And really, that's what's going on in this scripture. That is what's going on in this beautiful story here. It's not the thing that's going on. It's not the what that's really bad here. It's the why they're doing it. And that's why I asked the question tonight, why do you do what you do? See, in this list, man, when you look back over this list, every single thing that they were doing was good things. But yet God had reached a place with his very own people, the people he loved, and he's saying, man, I am sick of this. I'm washing my hands of this. When you do this, I'm just not even going to look. I'm not even going to bother to listen because I know you're playing games right now. I'm going through the motions. And for us, that could be as simple as, man, I'm going to church, right? Reading my Bible. I'm giving my money here, God. If you'll just take it and, man, I'll be honest, if you do this right here, I was completely fine buzzing through high school as an average, under average student. I'm okay being a C student. I was fine with that. To be honest, if it's on this kind of scale, I'm okay being a C Christian. I mean, I'm going to heaven. What's the need to overperform here, right? Like, I mean, I'm already in. I've already made the team. What's the deal? Why do I have to go through all this stuff? I want to tell you why. It's because this whole idea right here, it should be from a place last night of us saying, man, I know my identity. There's nothing I can do to make him love me less. There's nothing I can do to make him love me more. That ought to make me want to check every one of these boxes. Not because I can check off a box, forget the envelope. It's to come to a place and say, I'm doing these things. I go under a bridge today in 172 degree Fahrenheit heat and cook over a grill because I want to see people fall in love with the story of the gospel, that there was a great exchange that happened for them and for their very life. That's the why. Right, and that's the deal here. People were just going through the motions. I want to give you a modern day illustration just real quick before we close and read a couple more verses in scripture here. February 14th. I know what day that is. Most likely, if you do, you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend, significant other. Everybody know the day? This is a safe place. You can say it's a safe place. Everybody know? Valentine's. I want to give you two scenarios. That's my wife, Jamie. You haven't met Jamie. Some of you can fill in the blank, and this is your illustration with your significant other. If I was to come to Jamie on Valentine's Day and say, I got you this card. I got you some chocolate. I got you some flowers. I didn't really want to, but I did it because I thought I had to. I mean, here you go. I don't know. Like, if you're a teenager, don't ever try that, right? Like, if you're married, you know. Doug, you know that. Brantley, you know. Jesse and Joseph, like, you guys know. That wouldn't fly. That would be a bad Valentine's, right? That would be Valentine's terrible. But now, if I do that same thing, the very same thing, and I go and I say, Jamie, out of all the girls in the world, See, look here. I'm telling you, it just works, right? I mean, turn on the charm and you say, out of all the girls in the world, I wouldn't rather give these flowers to anybody but you. And baby, this card, the words don't do justice to what's written on this card. You see what I'm saying? Guys, take notes. I'm just telling you. And these chocolates ain't near as sweet as you, baby, but I want to give them to you because I love you. Now, I just want you to take a guess. Same actions, same exact things. I took flowers, I took a card, I took chocolate. And we know Forrest said, Mom always said, I'm not going to get into that, right? But I took all of these things and I took them to Jamie, and it was the exact same thing. The first illustration was going and just handing them over out of duty, handing them over out of a thing of, this is what I think you want, handing them over and thinking, if I do this, then something good will happen for me, and not out of a place of saying, man, I love you. I care for you. I value you. I desire this relationship that we have to be even stronger. Guys, you see what I'm saying? The difference between those two? Man, that is what is being lived out in Isaiah when we read this. These are people that are coming into church and they're saying, God, I'm going to trample your courts. I'm even going to run up there like I'm happy. I'm going to be happy to be here. We're burning sacrifices for you, God. We're giving you money. We're doing all of these things. Aren't you happy, God? I'm praying. Do you hear me? I'm singing. I'm lifting up my hands to you, God. God's looking at that and saying, man, you don't mean that. Just stop. I would rather you not do that. I'm telling you, guys that are married and you've got a significant other, I'm telling you, your wife would rather you not give the stuff if you're going to give it in that way. It won't go over well. Just save yourself the trouble. Don't try it. But the other way, man, what if these people were to come in and said, man, I'm here in his courts today because I love him. I'm here in his courts because, like Jesse said, I got broken places that he's healing. They're not all the way healed, but he's healing them. Man, I'm here to worship him. God, I'm here to worship you because I love you. I'm here to worship you because you've set me free. I'm here to worship you because I want the world to know how grand a story this is. God, I'm humbled that I get to pray to you. I'm humbled that you would even turn your face towards me. God, I love you. Do you hear me? I want to sing to you, not because there's words on a screen. I doubt they had screens back then. And they're saying, man, I want to sing to you because of what you've put in me. I want to sing because the overflow of my heart can't help but sing praises to you because you're great. I can't think of any other words. It's coming to a place in Scripture last night when you read about him laying down his righteousness for your sin, and you just can't say anything but the words we sang. Thank you. Thank you. That's where God looks at us and says, man, I can turn my face towards that. I can get me some. I love that. I want a relationship with you like that. All the while saying, man, it is the why. It's not the what. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it a place where you're just going through the motions? Or is it a place that you fully surrendered? The rest of the story wound up with me and Jamie and our kids coming to Birmingham, Alabama. And how that happened was this, was I came to a place of brokenness after reading this very scripture that I read with you tonight. And I came to a place where I said, God, there has to be more. In fact, at a dark place in my life of saying, God, I can't take life like it is anymore. I can't. I'm miserable. I feel like I'm a fraud to everybody because I'm telling them, everybody, that Jesus is abundant life, and I don't have abundant life right now. Oh, God, what do? You know, the sweetest words I think I've ever heard, and I've heard some sweet ones. I've heard a brand new baby's cry, that's my baby. It's amazing. I can't explain that to you if you're not a parent. It's amazing. I've heard the voice of a loved one tell me they love me, and that's amazing. I've heard a brother and a sister in Christ be there for me when I need it. It's all amazing. But one of the sweetest things I ever heard when I said, God, what do? I heard God say, just come back. Just come back. Man, I want to tell you, it's freeing. I wish I had some greater formula. I wish I had some easy step process for you to do, but I just know that when God spoke to me, he's like, I'm here, man. I haven't gone anywhere. Like, I've been here the whole time. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this reconciliation. I've been waiting for you to be at a place where you just be honest with me and tell me, hey, I'm fed up with you, God. One of the most freeing things. I knelt down and I prayed and I talked with God over this. And I said, God, I'm tired of playing these games. I don't know what it looks like, but I just want to be real with you and tell you that I'm really just hating life right now. And I want you just to do something about it. He said, come back. And so I tell Jamie and we talk and really just telling her, man, I'd done youth ministry for a while and I loved it and I still miss it. And honestly, man, being with you guys this week has made me miss it even more. Great group of guys. And I came to a place, though, where I told Jamie, I said, I just feel like I'm going through the motions that I'm comfortable doing it. I've done it for so long, and I just feel like it's one of these things. It's just that, I feel like George W. Bush right now, that I'm going to say something crazy. It's just that roller coaster, what do you call it? A carousel, the merry-go-round. It just keeps going around and around. There's a saying in Texas. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go there. That is George W. Bush. Coming to a place where I felt like it just kept going around and around and around, and there was just no end in sight. So I said, I've got to seek a change. I've got to just ask God. And so I just want to tell you what helped me, and maybe it'll help you. If not today, but maybe sometime down the road. I asked Jamie, I said, should we pray the prayer, Lord, whatever you want from us? The answer is yes. Can I just go on and caution you that before you pray that, just stop. Danger ahead, caution, these are the flashing lights. Just stop for just a second. It's a dangerous prayer. It really is. It's a dangerous prayer that we should pray. And I joked with Doug about this the other day, and I told him a little of this story, and I said, I just knew, or you were with us, I believe. I said, I just knew that when we prayed this prayer, that was it. We were going to Africa and we were going to be fighting off king cobras. I just knew, right? When you pray that prayer and you ask God, God, wherever you send me, I'll go. I mean it. God, wherever you send me, wherever you say, whatever you say to do, the answer is yes. Like, we're going to Africa. That's it. Sign up. God moved us 30 miles down the road from our hometown that we had always lived in. I never thought about living in the city. I like to hunt things and kill them. I like to catch fish out of the lake. I never thought about coming to this place, but I want to tell you, I've never been happier in my walk with God. It's not perfect. I'm still a sinner. I've sinned today. But I want you to know, just praying that prayer and asking, God, I don't want to check boxes anymore. I want to be to a place where you would have me in a daily relationship. I can tell you, we've been loved by this extreme love, and that's the love He wants us to love Him back with. A genuine relationship. Again, I ask the question, why do you do what you do? The why is so much more important than the what. Man, He wants you to love Him from a place of just devotion and love and care for a genuine relationship with Him. Now, share just a couple of things with you in closing before I read this last verse. I want you to know the what can be faked. I know that because I've been there and done that and got the t-shirt to prove it. It can be faked. You see, Doug, he loves you and he cares for you, but you can fake him out. You can. I mean, you can go to church all you want. You can say, man, you can even go to him and say, man, I've been reading in my Bible this week, and man, it's been awesome. Me and God, I've really been going after God this week. And man, it's great. Man, I've been praying. Doug, I want you to know I've been praying for you. You can fake all those things. You can get in a worship service, both hands up, twist around, touch your partner, all that stuff. I don't know what you do. Right? You can do all those things. You can go in church and wear your hat backwards because that's what Christians do. I don't know, right? You can fill in the blank with what you could do. And you can fake those things to other people. But you cannot fake the why to God. He knows. He came to a place to His chosen people, the people He loved, His covenant people, and He basically just did a timeout and said, would y'all just stop? I'd rather you not even come. I'd rather you not even come to church like this. I'd rather you not come to the synagogue like this. I would rather you not pray to me like this. I would rather you not even taint reading the Holy Scriptures to me in a way like this. I would rather you not sacrifice or give me an offering like this. Would you just stop? And you come to a place like that and you say, man, the why is so much more important than the what. I want to read to you just the last verses in this little deal, and I believe it's the prescription. Here's what he says in verse 16. He tells these people that he loves, he has a relationship with, that he's told to stop all these things. Wash yourselves. make yourselves clean. By the way, the only way you can do that is to go to Him. We can't clean ourselves up. Amen. It says, remove the evil from your deeds and before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless and plead the widow's cause. I always found it interesting. He says, plead justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. And then we get in the New Testament. He says, pure and undefiled religion is to look after the orphans and the widows, the least of these, like you guys did today. But can I share one very real thing with you in closing? You could do every single thing you did today. You could sweat 100 pounds of sweat in a cargo truck pulling out clothes. You could cook over a grill. You could talk to people till you're blue in the face. If you did it in some kind of way of saying, boy, God, I hope you're watching. Boy, God, I hope you're keeping score. Boy, God, I really need you to come through on it. Boy, God, I really need you to love me more because look at me. I mean, look at me, right? I'm really doing a good thing here. I'm going to tell you, he more than likely looked at it in that sense of like, just stop. Just stop. But if you come to a place like that today, and when you go home and you encounter people and you say, man, I'm going to go out here and sweat, not because I really even want to, because I love God and I love people and I want to see them set free, that's where he says, that's what I'm talking about. That's my son right there. Like the proud dad. Let me tell you, my kids are no artists. I've got boxes of stuff to show you. They're not artists. I love them. Y'all are not artists. I've got some stuff when they were kids that to you would look like the most horrible, horrible things in the world. I mean, squigglies like don't even make sense, right? It's like the cow is, you know, pink and the sun is blue and all this stuff. But you know what we did when they brought them home? Because we loved them? Man, it went on the fridge. It was like people would come over and it's like, that's my boy right there. Like, he just do that. And they're like, uh-huh, yeah, that's awesome, right? They don't understand because it's not their kid. But to me, it was a big deal. Now, granted, Bradley was 13 when he did that. But, I mean, we're working on it. We're working on it. I'm kidding. And we're at a place, though, where that's what God looks at us in like that moment. It may not seem like much on the grand scale of things. It's like, man, I passed out shirts today. But if you did it in a moment of saying, man, this is worship, and I want these people to know that somebody cares about them, that while their parents may have forgot about them, listen, I know some of the stories of the people that were out there today, and some of their parents and some of their families have just disowned them and forgotten about them and written them off, and you gave them a shirt in the name of Jesus, and God looked at you and said, that's my boy. That's my girl, right? That's what I'm talking about. That's going on the fridge right now, right? We're having a party about that because of the why they did that. It wasn't the what. Go out there and pass out shirts in the heat and do it with a thing. Man, I can't wait to get this over. Stop. Just don't do it. Why do we do what we do? I'm going to ask these guys to come, and I want us just to go to God in a moment of reflection. A moment of prayer, and just think about that. Why do you do what you do? I want to challenge you with one thought before these guys play. Would you run from the bondage of religion tonight and run to a relationship? That's all he wants, man. He doesn't want the games. He doesn't want you acting out the part. He wants you to be at a place, warts and all, saying, man, I want a relationship with you. I want to pray and ask God just to bless this time. If you need me, I'll be in the back. You see Doug if you need him. Any of these other adults. Adults, if you need one of us, man, we're here to talk as well, okay? Let me just pray, and let's use this time to honor God and what he said tonight. Father, we love you. We pray in your name, Father, that you've spoken tonight. We pray that we are at a place tonight, Father, that if we're living that religious notion out of we can somehow earn favor with you or put the right amount in the vending machine and push the right buttons and do the right dance, that somehow God will be happy. Would you help us just to stop? You help us to come to a place and realize like the people needed to realize in this story tonight of going through the motions is just that. It's just going through the motions. That we could run from a religion and run to a relationship with you. We would come to a place where we understand tonight that the why we do what we do is so much more important than the what. And God, I needed that a few years back. I still need it. I need reminded of that tonight, tomorrow, the next day. I need to continue to preach that to myself. If Father, because if I'm not careful, I can even take that and start making into a list of boxes I need to check. Father, I just say in a crowd this size, there may be some that feel that same way. That's him tonight. Would you help him to lay those burdens down and just run to you tonight? Run to a relationship. Why do we do what we do? Help us answer that with peace and conviction tonight. And maybe, just maybe, you'll whisper those same words. Would you just come back to me? Would you just come back? Father, we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.